Hi, it's Austin. Last Monday night, we had our live event at the Annoyance Theater chatting with founder, artistic director Mick Napier and executive director Jennifer Eslin. The Annoyance is one of Chicago's foundational comedy theaters whose influence is felt in comedy and theater around the world and whose alumni are a murderer's row of talented folks, including Stephen Colbert, Jon Favreau, Jane Lynch, Kate Flannery, Aidy Bryant, Amy Sedaris, Dick Costolo, Ike Barinholtz, Andy Richter, and so many, many more. I'm going to break up our hour-long live conversation into three audio episodes, but you can watch the whole thing on our YouTube channel with subtitles and a transcript and everything, which seems only right and proper since we've reached such an impressive milestone. All right, here we go. All right, so good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 20th year, episode number 1,000. The Annoyance Theater. Such a special event for me, and before I start and forget, I want to thank Jennifer Eslin for allowing us to record this here tonight. I was all nervous about, I've never done a live podcast before. How is this ever going to work? But you guys record live podcasts here all the time. So we're all in very, very good hands. Thank you for coming out. I want to talk to you a little bit, tell you a little bit about the history of the RSE podcast. Before we get to the main event, which is our interview conversation with Jennifer Eslin and Mick Napier. First of all, somebody asked, I've never been to Mike, in fact, somebody, not a vague person, it's Mike right there, sitting next to Dee, asked, I don't know how to behave in a live podcast recording, which is perfect, because I don't know how to host a live podcast recording. We're all going to go on this journey together. The first thing I want to do, I'll tell you a few fun facts about the RSE podcast. I started it December 7th, 2006. And I know that was exactly 1,000 weeks ago. I have not missed a week in all of those years of posting episodes. Thank you. This is we are officially the longest running weekly theater podcast in the world. We're heard in over a dozen countries, the top 10 of which are the US, Singapore, Taiwan, UK, number 4. Yeah, I think the UK can step it up myself. At number 4, that surprises me. Japan, Canada, Australia, Germany, Italy, and Ireland. And there are other countries I know, but the only way I can find out what those countries are to pay more to Blueberry for a deeper dive into our demographics. And this is a very reduced podcast. We don't put any money into it. It's all me. So enjoy. Thank you for coming and spend a lot of money at the bar and tip well. So to talk about the other thing that I do is edit these podcasts every week. And this is sometimes the most time-consuming part of it, is editing out all the awkward stumbles and unintentional bad phraseologies like I just did. And it's all usually mine, not the guests. But one of the things, the guests have ranged over the years, they've ranged from Brian Dennehy, on the one hand, artistic end of the scale, to Weird Al Yankovic, on the other, to MSNBC's Lawrence O'Donnell, who before he was an incredibly valuable voice on the political scene, was just a drama nerd like the rest of us. Actors and comedians Rachel Dratch, Matt Walsh, J.K. Simmons, Susie Nakamura have all appeared on the podcast. Tony Winnie directors Mary Zimmerman, Robert Falls, playwrights Lauren Gunderson, Sarah Rule, Rajiv Joseph, best-selling novelists like Christopher Moore, Nicole Gallen, and Lewis Byard, and Starship captains Elizabeth Dennehy and Scott Bakula. We have run the gamut, and now, finally, I want to interview these two theater pioneers for years.
And I think it just proves the old adage that these things happen when they're supposed to happen. So to be able to talk to you guys tonight on the stage of your theater, where I have never performed, actually, not, that I think not once, is very, very special to me. Please welcome our hosts tonight, the founder and artistic director and executive director of Chicago's Annoyance Theater, Mick Napier and Jennifer Eslin. Thank you, and if you share that, please.
Absolutely, thank you for having us. We're very excited to be here, thank you.
Oh, you're very excited to be on your stage.
With you, for your first time.
Yeah, for my first time, that's right, thank you. You're being very gentle, and I appreciate it. Your whole staff is great. I want to talk about, the Annoyance Theater. When do you mark the beginning of the Annoyance, Mick? What year?
Probably 1987.
87. So we're coming up on 40 years. This is year 39.
Yeah, I started when I was 3 years old.
You're a child, and you're from Indiana, right? Are you?
Yeah, I was born in Kentucky. I went to school in Indiana.
Okay.
At university.
What brought you to Chicago?
Second City, to study at Second City and to be an actor there, and I ended up morphing into a director.
And more, not just a director, but a pioneer, a theater owner, an author of Improvise, Seen from the Inside Out. And dare I, do you like the term guru?
I don't care for it so much. I have an aversion to facial hair a little bit. But I say that only in a gay way.
Was Annoyance founded on a belief to be the alternative to Second City? Was there something about Second City that you wanted to do, made you want to do something completely different?
I think so. I don't believe it was a conscious, like, rebellious thought,
yeah.
But it certainly was the thought of, like, I'd like to do theater that I don't think can exist at I.O. or Improv Olympic at that time in Second City, and that had a group of friends create Splatter Theater, which was a blood show. That was our first show. And then our next show is Co-Ed Prison Sluts, the musical.
Yeah.
So it was kind of that. That ran for 14 years here in Chicago. But the Tribune won't admit that. It's okay. That's all right.
Yes, we could talk about a critical insufficiencies. That's a longer conversation. And you also revived Splatter Theater just recently, or before the pandemic, right?
Well, each Halloween we do it. So.
Oh,
kind of comes around, and we have new people that direct it, and new people that are in it. So it's kind of a rite of passage in a weird way to get all bloody and go on.
For the performers and the audience.
It's a metaphor for life, because you're, never mind, it's not.
If you can survive Splatter Theater, you can survive life. The shows, these famous shows at the Annoyance, like Co-Ed Prison Sluts, like the real live Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
These shows launched the careers of a lot of very famous people who are still working today. Was that always the goal?
It wasn't. It was kind of a happy accident and stuff. And these are people that went on with the Robert Lab Brady Bunch and with other shows throughout the years and stuff. So it's been kind of a happy incident.
And now, so the Annoyance has been not only a launching pad for so many people, but it's become an artistic home, as we used to say in the 90s, for a lot of different performers, right? And still, do you still get alumni returning back to do shows?
We do, and everyone's pretty kind to us when they look back on us and they come back and do stuff. We always refer to the Annoyance as kind of like an island of misfit toys in a weird way with the theater and improv community here.
Is there a way that you think about the difference between improv and scripted material? Do you use improv as a way to develop a scripted show, or do you like improv as its own art form?
Yeah, I'm fine with both. You know, I really am. I've never been a part of that famous Del Close, Bernie Sollins argument about whether or not improvisation in and of itself is a performance art form, whether or not it's a means to write a show.
Right.
And you can tell how bored I am talking about it, by the way I'm talking about it. I've said these words a couple of times. As a side note, Del Close on his hospital bed held my hand 2 days before he died, and he said, well, I guess I'm supposed to pass the baton of improvisation on to you, but personally I don't give up. F. And then the very last thing Del Close ever said to me was, EasyJet.
EasyJet. Well Googled, my friend.
You're welcome. But Co-Ed Prison was always a milestone for the Annoyance, and it was kind of a burden in some ways, too. When we went to do corporate work, that name got in our way a lot because, you know, a company couldn't get past the words Co-Ed Prison Slots.
Right.
When I started directing at Second City, Joyce Sloan told me she was afraid that I was going to bring something like Co-Ed Prison Sluts to Second City. Mm-hmm. And I told her I could adjust and not be funny. I can work there. She allowed me to create a modernized 60% tourist-based audience shows, and it was all fine.
Well, I remember it being a big deal in the community that Second City had hired you back, that they had brought to direct a show, to bring your Annoyance vision back to the mothership of Second City. Was that any sort of a milestone for you, or was it like, oh, this will be fine?
Of course. I was in New York for 3 years before that, and I directed at Second City in the suburbs, and I went to New York and I came back to direct the main stage. So it was a milestone for me. I was very scared, and it was, you're sitting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the main stage of the Second City, and you have six actors on stage improvising, and you do think to yourself, what in the world happened in my life that I'd have the main stage cast of Second City performing for me alone?
Yeah.
And then the second thought is like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Well, and who were some of those actors?
Well, I mean, those were like the Scott Adsit and Jim Zulu. One of the things I'm most proud of at Second City is I created the first equal gender cast. Before that, it had traditionally been four men and two women. And I was able to even out the cast and make it three women and three men. And the woman that evened out that cast was Tina Fey.
Yeah. So you were the one that discovered that women are funny.
I am the one that I continue lying about.
Every week, I in the middle of the episode, I make an announcement about our tour dates, and that's what I'm going to do now. So, where can you RSC the RSC? In this first half of 2026, we'll be performing All the Great Books Abridged in Reston, Virginia, and Sault Ste. Marie in Holland, Michigan. And we're finally returning to the UK with a newly reimagined production directed by RSC founding member Adam Long of the show that started it all, the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged to more than 30 cities in the UK, including Chipping Norton, Basingstoke, Worcester, Epsom, Coventry, Huddersfield, Salisbury, Bristol, Guildford, Lichfield, Southampton, Poole, Hartford, Bedford, Tunbridge Wells, Newbury, Taunton, Exeter, Northampton, Bolton, Watford, Oxford, Ipswich, Bury, St. Edmunds, Keswick, Newcastle, Doncaster, Wakefield, and York. Check out the touring page on our website, reducedshakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. And now, finally, to the main event, where I can put my self-deprecation mode back on and throw focus to my guests.
Speaking of women, here's my wife.
Yeah, there she is. I wanted to switch it over to Jen because I know you were involved with it with the art of this place, but I also know, particularly because I just found out that you used to be a stage manager, that you're deeply involved with the business of this place. And not only has it been an artistic home for so many artists and improvisers and folks over the years, but it's literally, you guys during the pandemic specifically did a lot of work to support theaters that were losing their spaces. Can you talk a bit about what you did there?
Sure. It was, as you can imagine, everybody was just freaking out during the beginning of COVID, and it went from, you know, we left here and pretty much just left the bar as it was and sort of put up the chairs like we usually did, not thinking it was going to be 2 years later when we would come back. But after the first few months, it started to seem like, okay, this is a bigger thing and we don't have a way to survive. We're the kind of place that pretty much needs your weekly proceeds in order to survive.
Yeah.
So I actually started just researching, like, what are people doing or how are people getting through this? And came upon a grassroots group called Civil, which was the Chicago Independent Venue League, and that was primarily music venues that had originally formed together, had come together to sort of activate against what they found to be some building that was going on that was going to hurt independent venues, and switched gears hugely during the time of the pandemic so that we could start to help each other in every way possible. And it was just different venues from all over Chicago, and we would meet weekly and figure out what politicians we could talk to and what other things were going on around the country that we could sort of join in with. And so we were able to get funding to go through the, it took a while, but the Shuttered Venue Operations Grant, the SVOG, saved many, many venues throughout the country. And so, and Civil was a big part of that, and we were really proud of being able to do that. And it really did, it saved us, it saved several, so many theaters.
And we're, yes. That Shuttered Venues fund gave the Renewed Shakespeare Company some money and helped us get through sometimes too. Am I right that you had a sympathetic landlord? Are you able to talk about that?
Our landlord worked with us.
Oh, very good. Okay. Well said. Well said. But other folks didn't. Were you able to, once you were able to survive, did you offer classes over Zoom?
We did some of that. We did, you know, we tried everything. When at the very first started, we locked ourselves in to the theater, and we put on a show that we had everyone living here for, I think it was 10 days, and we live streamed the experience.
Wow.
And we live streamed the rehearsals and playing around in the hallway at night. Everybody picked a place to sleep and put together a show in 10 days. And so we live streamed that whole thing and then live streamed the show. And then we all went to our separate homes, and then we started to do other things like online classes. We had online parties. Just everything we could think of to sort of keep the community and make people remember that we were still hanging in there and hopefully would be able to come back. And so that was a really exciting thing was, you know, after having these online parties to finally be able to say, like, we're going to be in person next week, come to the theater. It was very exciting.
Well, and you were able to give place to companies or individuals rehearsal space.
Yes.
And even tonight, for instance, you're not charging me anything for this for this event. So I really appreciate that. Yes, thank you. Applaud that, please. Yeah.
Also, I just
want to
say they got married online as well.
We did.
Oh,
that's for money.
Oh, that's good. During the pandemic? No.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
It was, June 30th, and we saw, I think it was like the end of, or right at the beginning of April, we saw a story on CNN about how someone had a Zoom wedding. And we looked at each other and we were like, hey, that could work. Because we were engaged for years and we could never figure out how to actually put a wedding on because we know so many people and there were just lots of complications.
You couldn't possibly invite all of them. There was
that whole thing.
Inevitably, yes.
But we put a wedding together in like a month and then did it online and it was a blast.
Was that's so amazing. Fun. That's amazing. And I think that could be the next step forward for the Renewed Shakespeare Company podcast. Now that I think about it, live weddings.
There you go.
Live produced weddings. Part of the active podcast space the kids are so into.
Are you an officiant? Are you an officiant?
I'm not an officiant, but I could spend 5 minutes online.
Sure. We are. We've married a couple of people.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I bet that's very special.
It's fun. Yeah, it is fun.
But special for you guys and very special for them if they've convinced you guys to officiate their wedding.
Oh, yeah. I've officiated two weddings.
And I have one coming up.
Yes.
This summer.
Well, where can people sign up to get engaged? Is there a website we can go to? Jen, do you get... I know we're going to talk about your double act in a minute, but you act as well.
Yes.
Right? You are famously at least famously in my mind and heart, Jerry Orbach let Lenny Briscoe's daughter on Law and Order from back in the day. That's applause. But you were just recently in a movie too.
Yes.
What was that?
It's called Everything Fun You Could Possibly Do in Alito, Illinois. It's a really wonderful indie film that was shot in Alito, Illinois, just after the pandemic, and it just came out on Amazon Prime.
Fantastic. All right, look that up. I'm going to keep talking to them, but for the moment, please give a great thank you to Nick Napier and Jennifer Eslin.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. My conversation with Mick and Jen will continue next week when I'll be talking to them about their mentalism magic double act called Napier and Eslin. In the meantime, you can find out more about the Annoyance Theater's year-round shows and classes by going to theannoyance.com. Mick Napier also offers online improv classes over at improvfiend.com. And Mick and Jen will be performing their mentalism magic double act on Valentine's Day at the Center for Inquiry in Los Angeles. Go to centerforinquiry.org for more information and tune in next week to hear them reveal all their secrets. Not really. Send us your impressive milestone via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks, as always, to podcast whisperer Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Barbara Riley. No reason, it's just random. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 1,003,000th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
This is so much better than doing it in my office. A live audience.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.